Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to read the verses we read for the Lord's table and then consider the simplicity of the ordinance that the Lord has left us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning at verse 23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's seek God's blessing upon his word and our understanding of it. Father, we do thank thee that thou hast given us thy truth, thy word, and our blessed Savior. We do thank thee for the ordinances that thou hast granted unto thy church, both very picturesque and both very simple and both symbolical in nature. And we ask thee that thou mightest be pleased to enable us as we look into this passage and consider the simplicity of the ordinance, blessed Savior, thou hast given us, that thou wouldest give us understanding and enable us as we partake of this blessed feast, that thou wouldest enable us to understand the meaning of it and to realize wondrously communion with thyself. And may thy name be exalted as we look to thee and depend upon thee for thy help in the ministry of thy word and in our together partaking of this blessed ordinance. And we shall thank thee, our Savior, and praise thee, our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Both ordinances that the Lord gave to his church are very simple. Very simple in nature. They're not complicated. It's man who adds complication to them. And when we come to the Lord's table, the ordinance of the Lord's table is given us in very simple commands and ways. Actually, there is one central commandment in the Lord's table. Only one. I know we are to take, we are to eat, we are to drink, and as the Lord has given us to do. But we do so for this reason. The Lord Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." There is no other command given with the Lord's table. It is absolutely simple, incredibly simple. Of course, it is the shame of human depravity that complicates it, adds elaborate ceremony to it. This table is not a sacrifice. It is not an unbloody sacrifice. It is not a mass. And, of course, we don't lift the elements up, and nor do people come and bow down on their knees to take them as if worshiping these elements. That is idolatry and a form of idolatry. That the Lord never commanded any particular position to take the table. Never commanded to take it kneeling. Never commanded to take it sitting down. There's no command whatsoever to do with as far as the posture of receiving the elements of the Lord's table. And when the supper was instituted, his apostles were around the table. It wasn't instituted in the temple. It wasn't instituted there where the sacrifices were made. It was instituted in a private home and the upper room of that house while they were reclining no doubt, in Oriental fashion, around a table. It is the Lord's table. It is not an altar. So it is man who complicates it. It is man who brings his idolatries and his superstitions and his elaborate ceremonies. The Lord Jesus simply broke the bread, passed it, said, "Take, eat." Poured the wine in the cups, passed it, said, "Drink." And gave the whole crux of it when he said, "This do in remembrance of me." It's an incredibly simple ordinance. Nothing elaborate whatsoever about it. One thing commanded. One thing. "This do in remembrance of me." And of course, we know when we come to the table, there are sometimes other memories that may encroach upon us one way or another, but they are in no way to eclipse this one command of our Lord when He says, "This do in remembrance of me." Well, there are times, of course, when maybe we can't help but remember when we do come to this table when we did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a time when we mocked the things of Christ. A time when we mocked the things of God and even the people of God. And we remember when we did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, every child of God realizes that. A time we didn't know Him. We didn't believe Him. We didn't rest in His truth. We were not of those who understood and were in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can remember when we did not know Him. And we can remember when God began His work in us. And we can remember being brought as sinners to look to the Savior, to trust only in Him, to realize that here is God's salvation and the whole of God's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we came to rest in Him and how our hearts were enthralled with Him and taken up with Him. And indeed, He, as the Scripture uses the term, was our first love. Maybe you can remember the first time as a believer, as a saved believer, you came to the table. How precious, how wondrous this table that preaches one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, with this one commandment, "This do in remembrance of me." How precious the ordinance was to your soul. It may be that the things of this world, the activities, the distractions have lessened that somewhat. It shouldn't. We come to this table to realize the wondrousness of God's grace and what He's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things we will certainly remember. We'll have in memory oftentimes when we come to the table. We might think of those who sat with us in time past and took these elements together with us. But now they're enjoying a far better communion, a more sweeter fellowship than we can imagine with our Lord. Over the years, we've had those who've sat with us, but they've left this scene. They've gone on to be with the Lord of glory. They're in the presence of the King. They're feasting in a way that we can only imagine. But we can remember sitting with them. We can remember when they were with us. We can remember the table. But then also, shouldn't just be that, but we should have the pleasure of realizing how good it is to have those who are sitting now with us and taking the table, looking to Christ, realizing the wondrousness of His grace and His redemption, wanting to enter in upon this glorious ordinance and the realization of what it speaks to us and says to our souls, what God meant it to say to us concerning our salvation and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That we're to take it as a body. And Christ is the head of the body. We're to take it corporately. There's no place in Scripture where this is taken individually. It's taken corporately as a body. We are, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are to discern the body. That Christ lives in us. That Christ lives in His people and in His church when we receive these elements, these two elements the Lord took from that Passover meal to represent to us His body broken and His shed blood, the bread and the wine that we receive as tokens that our Lord has given us of His love and the wondrousness of His salvation for us. We look to the Lord Himself and we realize that He has made us one in Him. So we take pleasure in each other. We're to rejoice in each other. It's a sad thing when brethren are divided and try to come to the table. When affections have been alienated in there, those who try to come to the table. It's a shameful thing among God's people that we remember critical things about others instead of realizing, you know, we have our own problems as well. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you're going to cast the mote out of your brother's eye, what had you better do first? Cast the beam out of your own. So we've got enough to take care of with ourselves. And instead of looking at others, wondering about others, thinking about us, what their faults or whatever, we learn to forgive, we learn to cleanse, we learn through the wondrousness of God's grace that He has freely forgiven us, that He has brought us unto Himself. And we look for the work of God's Spirit and His grace wherever we find it in God's people. Instead of looking for those things we can critically say against them. And we learn that we're one body. We take this table as one body in Christ. So we can put ourselves in mind of this. Of course, maybe often we should and do, that we receive this table as one body. And it is wonderful. But all these things are secondary. All these things, whether we remember those who sat with us at the table in years past. And it is a table. The Lord instituted it, as we said, around a table where His own reclined. There is a certain familiarity we should have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It does speak of our communion with Him. And as it were, it says a lot of things to us about Him, and we'll get to those. We'll consider those. But not only should we forget our past sins in the sense that, yes, we're sorry for sin. We repent. We bring them to Him. We put them behind us. But He doesn't say, remember your past sins when He comes to this table. It's not that we primarily remember those who sat with us or those who are sitting with us. There's one command, remember, the Lord gave with this table. What is it? This do in remembrance of Me. That's the supreme thing about the table. And then we have these emblems of bread and wine that remind us of some very precious things. To begin with, they are physical elements indeed. There is that material side of our Christianity. It is basically and wondrously spiritually, and we learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. But our Lord Jesus became man. The Word was made flesh. He became incarnate. He took upon Him our very human nature, flesh and blood. He took part of our flesh and blood so that He became in this bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. What a wondrous thing that He was actually a man, that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, so that we're reminded of the Lord's humanity when we look at these elements, though they are physical elements. They remind us of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the elements. We have the bread. The bread. You know what you have to do to get bread? To begin with, you have to plant something in the ground, don't you? It has to be in a dark place. It goes through various types of pressure and stress. And then it has to be cut down, ground up. Put it in an oven, given to heat, and in the table finally broken the bread. Do you know all those things bespeak to us of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't simply begin suffering when He came into the world, or when He went to the cross. He actually began suffering when He came into the world. His whole life was characterized by suffering. Matter of fact, Isaiah says He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So this bread, it speaks to us about that. It tells us about what it takes for bread to be brought into existence. And it tells us the wondrousness then in finality that the Lord broke this bread. And of course, it represents His human nature. It represents that He is one with us in our humanity. Though He is God of very God, He came from eternity into time. He came the Word made flesh, so that when He breaks the bread, who is it that laid down His own life? It was He. He who did that. He's the unseen guest at this table. Or the unseen host at the table, if you please. He's the one who's the host at His own table. And this bread reminds us of the sufferings of our Lord on our behalf. And the bread, bruised, crushed, finally broken for us. And then we have the bread and we have the wine. They're separate. It's a very simple ordinance. But the wine is separated from the bread in the ordinance. We don't mix the bread and the wine together. They're taken, the bread and the wine, separately. Because the wine represents what? The blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ was shed for us. It was separated from His body. It was shed so that we might be cleansed and brought into a wondrous relationship with the Lord Himself. The bread and wine are separate. The blood of Christ was separated from His body. He died. It speaks of Him dying for us. And so that these emblems that the Lord has given us are very important as far as what they say to us. And then in Scripture, He tells us, take, eat, this is My body. And He tells us to drink, this is My blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. So what does eating and drinking represent in Scripture? It represents the appropriation of faith. Faith, as it were, is our mouth spiritually. And so that's what's represented herein. Eating and drinking represent the appropriation of this one eternal sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And then remember, there is the single command concerning this table, the centrality of what it's all about, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, this do in remembrance of Me. Well, tell me, what stimulates, what moves our love for Christ? His love for us, doesn't it? We love Him because He first loved us. What moved you to give yourself away unto Him, dear saint? That He died for your sins. That He took all the punishment for you. That the eternal wondrous love of God is manifested in the cross toward you. So that when you remember the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, when you remember the wondrousness of God's salvation, does it not stimulate your love for Him? To realize, I'm His, I belong to Him, He's redeemed me, He's bought me with His own precious blood. And then, what really is remembrance? And remember, that's the central thing about the table. This do in remembrance of Me. this do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. That's the central thing about this table. The very singular thing about it. Not any elaborate ceremony. As simple as possible we make it. It's the elements that speak to us. Right? And we do so. Not with ceremony. Not by anything that's going to distract from the centrality of the meaning of this table. But very simply, we take as from His hand. We take the bread that represents to us His sacrifice for us. We take the cup and we realize it's His blood that remits our sins. It's through the blood of Christ alone that God receives us, through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we come to realize the wondrousness of God's grace in Christ. And so the Lord says, "This do in remembrance of me." How did we begin? How did we begin this life in Christ? By a singular looking to Him alone, right? By looking away from ourselves, by rejecting all thought of worth and merit in ourselves, by realizing nothing in my hand do I bring, simply to Thy cross do I cling, by looking to Him and looking to Him alone. Well, what's this remembrance? Isn't it but a continuing to look to Him alone? It is the continuing just to look to Christ and Him only. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." We want to walk with Him. We want Him to be the one who blesses this table. And it's a table. It's a table where we commune together. It's a table where we have the wondrousness of the unseen host, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's a table, and the Lord Jesus says, "Here are the tokens that represent my love, that represent my redemption, that represent my salvation." And He says, "When you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Looking only to Him. Trusting only in Him. And how blessed when we do so. How precious what is spoken to our hearts by these elements become. So may our Lord be pleased to come and bless this ordinance, bless these elements, and grant that He would be glorified as we do this for one thing. Not because we think there's any efficacy in these elements. There's not. Bread and wine. Never anything but bread and wine. Not because there's anything that changes in these when we pray over them. They don't. It just remains bread and wine. But because of the one thing that our Lord has taught us to do by these elements, that bread, that if we look at it, speaks of a lot of suffering and finality Christ crucified for us. And that wine that speaks of His blood and all the wrath He had to go through and that wine having to go into a dark place in order to be made into what it was. And it was wine that the Lord used. It wasn't grape juice. It was wine that the Lord Jesus Christ took from the Passover meal. If you can ask any Jew you like today that takes the Passover, "Do you ever use grape juice?" They'll laugh in your face. There's never been such a thing. It's always, forever, or since it was instituted, been wine. It's wine. And that wine goes into a dark place before it's ready. Our Lord bore all the wrath against our sins. And so there's symbolism in these elements. But we look at them and they bespeak of us of one glorious truth. Our salvation is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This table preaches only one thing. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the Lord Jesus, when He tells us to partake of these elements, He says, what? "This do in remembrance of me." So may God bless this ordinance to your heart and mind.